to bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. And I guess I could say, someone said to me this morning, Happy Father's Day. And then somebody sent a text to me, said Happy Father's Day. It's a real responsibility to each one of you fathers, each one of you husbands, and the other way around too, the mothers and the wives. That song we just got done singing says, trust your hand into His. Oh, soul, you know the present and the past, all that you have been through, yet lies before you, future, deep and vast. God only knows what it will hold for you. Aren't you glad that He doesn't just show us what's all going to be coming out there? We would probably throw up our hands and just give up. But we know that He's been faithful down through the years. He's been faithful to each one of us. He's taken us through some rough places. He's taken us up on some wonderful spiritual mountains. He's taken us down through some dark valleys. But He's been faithful. And the same God that brought us thus far is able to take us clear to the last mile of the way. I'm thankful for that this morning. I'd like to look, if you want to follow along with us, over in 2 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. To start with the first verse there, 2 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, maybe I said 2 Thessalonians, it's 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians 5, and verse 3 now. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light, and the children of day. Ye are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father, as we continue in this service, we're so thankful for the privilege of being able to gather together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but being able to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And especially as we look forward to that second day, that second coming, when the Lord Jesus shall come back in the clouds with the shout of the archangel, and the trumpet shall sound, and time shall be no more. We pray, dear Father, that thou will help each one of us, that we might walk circumspectly and carefully before thee. Help us, Lord, today, that we might listen to thy voice and allow thee to work in our hearts and lives. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We are on a journey. This chapter that we read speaks about the end of the journey, and then it speaks about a lot of things happening before the end. The very first part of the chapter says that in verse 2, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." And sort of brought to my mind, we went on a little journey here just a few days ago. It wasn't very long, but it seems like our trips get longer the older we get. We used to get up in the evening, and since the children would sleep all night while we drove, we would drive all night long. And we'd drive for about 20 hours, 1,000 miles from here to Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, and drive all night long. The children would sleep most of the time. We thought that was the very best way. If I tried to do it now, I'd probably go to sleep about a fourth of the way there, and we'd never get there. But I remember when the children would wake up, they would ask the question, "Are we about there? Are we about there?" And you know, back then we didn't have to have car seats like, I don't know if I should say you poor people do today, but it seemed like it'd be a real bother. We just put them in there, and if the baby needed to be fed some milk, then it was right there handy. And if a child needed to be moved one way or the other, that was no problem either. And if they needed to exercise a little bit, they could kick their legs around and move around. But they'd wake up and, "Are we about there? Are we about there?" And have you ever felt that way in your spiritual journey? "Lord, are we about there? Are we about there?" Are we watching the road signs? Are we following the map? And this scripture says about the ones that say peace and safety when sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape. "But ye brethren are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of the light and children of the day. You're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Watch and be sober. And you know, fathers today, God's placed you in the driver's seat. As we head towards heaven, He's placed you as the head of the home. And thank the Lord you have your helpmeet to sit beside you and to encourage you and to keep you awake. I know on the trip I'd be driving along, and somewhere or another my wife seemed to perceive that I wasn't staying as alert as what I should be. And she'd reach over and bump me and, "Steve, are you awake?" "Oh yeah, I'm awake. And I was then. And then I'd notice her sitting over there. And pretty soon her head would start going like this. And so sometimes I would just do a few little things to wake her up. All you had to do is just swing it over just a hair and hit that little rumble streak, a strip, and her head flew up and her eyes flew open and she looked at me. "You're just doing that to tease me, aren't you?" But sometimes she looked at me and realized that I wasn't doing it to tease her. I really had dozed and I hit the rumble strip and I was not alert. And so she would have to look at me and I would see her looking at me trying to figure out whether I was trying to tease her or whether I was really asleep. Now this scripture says, "Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Watch and be sober. Why do we need to watch? Why do we need to be sober? Why do we need to have preachers stand up here and say, "Be alert spiritually. Wake up. Let's not go to sleep spiritually. Let's stay alert where God can speak to us and He can direct us. And we can rightly discern the truth by reading His Word and following the Word." Well, I don't know exactly what happened, but we got up around Jeff City and we had already traveled. Our traveling is a little different than some people's. Some people, they look at the map and they find the biggest superhighway they can get on and the fastest way they can whiz along. And that's what they get on, and they get there in 4 hours. And we look at the map, and we figure out how to go. And my wife probably has to put up with me, sort of endure some of this, but she tries to enjoy it. But I like to work a little scenic area in, too. And you know, if you go up 5, that's really closer than going around and hitting I-44 and coming back over and up like this. Some people said, 5? No, never. Don't go up that crooked road. But I like the way my wife said it. She said as we were driving along, "Oh, that's beautiful up there. It just feels like you're up on the top of the world. You can just look off both ways all along the sides. And it's just beautiful country." And why not enjoy life? Why not enjoy your driving and your trips instead of getting on that old highway and keeping it right on 70 miles an hour, and the trucks are going like this and this, and you whip out, and I have it on cruise, and so I have to try to work it or get behind somebody slow and flip it off cruise, and the time I get off there, I'm completely exasperated. "Yeah, we got there 30 minutes early. It was wonderful, wasn't it? Didn't see a thing hardly as I went along." But anyway, "They that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet, the hope of salvation." And in our place, as we travel along, we'll always pray that the Lord would be with us and that we could sense His presence and we could enjoy the trip. And lots of times, especially when the children were with us, we would sing as a family. I think of a song, and one of us would start in singing, and before long, all the family joined in, and we sang and sang for miles, and it was enjoyable, and it helped draw our thoughts heavenward. And in our spiritual journey, it needs to be an enjoyable time with the presence of God. This is not a way of drudgery. This is a way of staying close to God and allowing Him to work and help us in our hearts. And as fathers, you're in the driver's seat. God has placed you in a place of responsibility. You've got a lot of responsibility for your helpmeet and for every one of those precious souls that God has entrusted to you, that you can head them in the right direction. Now, they have the right, they have the privilege if they want to, if you call it a privilege, if they decide, Daddy's just a following the map too close. I see some brighter lights off there. I'd like to go over here. They want to jump out the door. They can do that to their spiritual tragedy. To jump out physically, there's going to be a real physical tragedy. But unfortunately, there are people that are not willing to be bound by the wonderful laws of God that He's provided to guide us to heaven and show us the way to heaven. The psalmist said he meditated on the laws of God day and night. It was not a drudgery to him because he loved the lawgiver. He loved the one who had written the love letter to us from heaven. Well, I'll say again, we was going up through Jeff City, and a lot of times we always glance over and we like to see the Capitol building. You see the big dome over there. And we knew that in Jeff City, we'd taken 5 up to 54, and that we were going to hit 63 up on the other side of Jeff City. And then 63 was supposed to go all the way to Kirksville. Now, the next thing you need to know, if you're driving, you need to know where you're going to. And if you're taking your family along, I hope that you have a destination that is a profitable destination. We have a lot of people who will go to Six Flags, they go to Branson, they go where the worldly amusements are and where they can be entertained with all the worldly things that the world has to offer. And they can really jig it up for a little while and get their excitement to go on. But it does not satisfy the soul, and it leaves you with an empty feeling and a dirty feeling spiritually if you are entertained by the enemy and his cohorts. Somewhere in there, I had talked to someone on the telephone, on my cell phone, and I don't know, I think at that point my helpmeet was asleep. That's all right, because they need to rest. But I needed a little jogging or a little bit of a special attention then, because I was driving along. We got through Jeff City, and I thought, well, you know, we really, it didn't seem like it usually does. We go through there, it usually was pretty busy there for a little while, and the Capitol building just was right there handy. You could see it easy. And anyway, we got out of the city and got on up, and the road was really good. We drove on and drove on, and all of a sudden, I saw a sign. In the spiritual life, we need to watch the road signs, and we need to take note of what's around us to see if, you know, this is what it should be. And this sign said, to some of you, this won't mean anything to. Others of you will know what I'm talking about. This sign said, 8 miles to Mexico. Now, it didn't say 8 miles to Mexico down south of us, but there is a town named Mexico. And I thought to myself, I'm going up 63, and I should never be that close to Mexico, because 63 goes up like this to Kirksville, and there's a road that branches off, and that's 54, and it goes over here and goes up to Mexico. And it's probably 30 miles across there. And I was 8 miles to Mexico. This is 63, and I'm supposed to be on it. And here I am. I told my wife, and she was sort of waking up, I think we're on the wrong road. So she got the faithful old map out. And when everything else fails, and all your thoughts and your suggestions, and maybe you've been dozing spiritually, you better get the faithful old Word of God out. And you better get the one out that has the truth in it, not something that has left the blood of Jesus out, or the virgin birth, or something that has told you you could go ahead and live in sin, or something that has taken hell out of it. You better get something that is true and something that will show you the way to heaven. We want to make it there. And sure enough, we missed the mark. And we just missed it by just some way. 63 and 54 ran together for a little bit. But 54 cut off 63, and we didn't get on 63. And we were headed the wrong direction. And we're supposed to be there for a minister's meeting at 2 o'clock. Thankfully, we thought we had plenty of time. Well, I had, and this is sometimes not easy to do, I had to admit that I was in the driver's seat and I made a wrong decision. Have you ever had to do that in the spiritual realm? You know, we just all of us think we're pretty well right, don't we? And you know, your suggestions are good, but mine's right. And when all of a sudden we realize that we missed the mark, then we got to do some quick backing up and saying, well, I think we're on the wrong road. We're going to have to do some adjusting. Or you can do like some people do, and they'd say, no, I know I'm right. I'm going to go on. This is the way I'm going to go. I don't care what anybody says. And, you know, I know I hit the right road, and I know I'm going the right way. The sign says 8 miles to Mexico, and we're wanting to go to Kirksville. We're not wanting to go to Mexico. There's a good fellowship meeting up there. There's a place to take your family. There's a place where you can go and enjoy God's presence and the preaching of the word. Where do you want to go? You want to go where we plan to go, or you want to take the bits in your teeth and go where you won't have to admit that you're wrong? We need to do some humble backing up sometimes and say, I was wrong. Somebody said, you know, it's easier to say you was right than to say I was wrong. It's easier to say you was right. But when you have to say I was wrong, that's sort of hard on any kind of pride. That's good for us. We need to have pride crucified. I'd like for you just to notice one thing. I brought a little book along. I don't know how many of you have ever read The War of Man's Soul. Some of you no doubt have read it. Instead of reading some worldly romance novel or something like that, John Bunyan wrote this old book that really talks to you about your soul. And the scripture has told us here to be armed with the breastplate of faith and the love and helmet the hope of salvation. But I'd like for you just to notice something really caught my attention last night in this book. And it was talking about a man, the war for man's soul. Man's soul. The enemy had come in and taken over this man's soul. But he heard that God was coming with Emmanuel and to take back man's soul from the enemy. And so now he was trying to arm them against God. And listen to what he has thought. It was very informative what he said. And in our trip towards heaven, we need to be properly armed. But he talked to his cohorts, the other ones that were with him, the enemy did, and he said, allow me my helmet. And he held it up high for all to see and said, this helmet is the hope of getting by as you are and doing well at last. Here we are, 8 miles from Mexico. We're just going to hope we get there. Sometime we'll probably get to to Kirksville. The hope of getting by as you are and doing well at last. No matter what kind of lives you live, it's a piece of approved armor that never failed to work. As long as you keep this on, no sword or arrow or dart of Emmanuel can get you. And now, look at my breastplate that I have for you. This is Satan's armor. And he fools people with this very thing. My breastplate, this is the breastplate of iron. Sounds good, doesn't it? And I had forged it in my own country. We swear by it. In plain language, it is a hard heart. A hard heart. Hard as iron and without feeling as a stone. Keep it on, and mercy won't win you, and judgment won't scare you. Most necessary, yes, and allow me, my sword. Now, this scripture says we're supposed to take the sword of the Spirit. But he said, my sword, it's an evil tongue to speak evil of God and his son Emmanuel, his ways and his people. Oh, it's devastating, wonderful for offensive warfare. And then my shield, he said, it's unbelief. Use it to question the truth of God's word. Question the truth of God's word. I've heard people do that. Why is this like this? And I tell you, this is God's holy word. It is the truth. You don't have to worry about it. It'll get you to heaven. It'll teach you how to live. But he said, all you have to do is take his shield, and you've got the shield of unbelief. It questions the word of God. Question everything that God says. Don't think about it. Question it. Don't think about it. The worst thing you can do is take time to think. He doesn't want you to meditate. He doesn't want you to think. Those who have written of the wars of Emmanuel against my servants have testified that he could do no mighty work there because of their shield of unbelief. It has done much to promote my cause. And last of all, and I thought this was a real eye-opener, he paused dramatically for effect, and he said, a dumb and prayerless spirit. Yes, in order to use my armor properly, your attitude must be right. It is as much a part of my armor as those other pieces. Everything's in the attitude. You must scorn to cry for mercy. What? Cry for mercy? Bah! Where's your pride? Where's your self-respect? Where's the dignity of man? The spark of divinity in your soul? They're saying that nowadays, you're your own God. Mercy, never. This really got his cohorts to going. They were carried away. He had to signal them to quiet down so he could finish. And you know, today we're not living in the night. It's night all around us. But if we're children of the light, we have the Lord to show us the right way. And we have the faithful guidebook to show us all the way to heaven. It's worked, and it continues to work, and it always will work. It's God's holy word. As fathers, let's be faithful as God has placed us in that seat, in the driver's seat, with our helpmeet beside us. Let's kneel in prayer.